RNZ Pacific News Talofalava, I'm Marama Tipole. Samoa's Parliament has three new MPs. The new MPs, Ali'i Malimanu Tu'uau, Fa'angasi Ali'i Fiangai and To'omata Leota, bring the number of women MPs in Samoa's 54-member Parliament to seven, including Prime Minister Fiamme Naomi Mata'afa. RNZ Pacific Samoa correspondent Joyeta Fiangai Ma Ali'i told Pacific Waves that Samoa's constitutional gender quota requires five seats for female MPs.
Prime Minister Fiamme congratulated the women and welcomed them. And she also pointed out that this is the second time this constitutional mandate for women MPs have been activated. The first time was in 2016. So it's quite significant.
The sudden passing of Papua New Guinea's Deputy Prime Minister, Sam Basel, has resulted in a delay of procedures for the country's upcoming general elections. Basel, along with his protection officer, died in a car accident last Wednesday, just a day before election nominations. RNZ Pacific's PNG correspondent Scott Wade says the election nominations have been delayed due to pressure from residents of Basel's home province of Morobe.
There was a demand by the public from Morobe, certain various sectors, saying that if the Electoral Commission goes ahead with the nomination, it would be deemed very disrespectful. The writs have been issued by the Governor-General officially, but the actual nominations have been delayed by at least a week.
New Zealand's plans to fast-track residency pathways for migrants is being criticised for not being inclusive of lower-paid migrants, many of whom are Pacific Islanders. The fast-track policy focuses on 85 occupations, from psychiatrists to plumbers, in particular workers who earn more than twice the median wage. However, it doesn't guarantee residency for minimum-wage migrant workers. Green Party spokesperson for immigration, Ricardo Menendez-March, says the policy is discriminatory.
They don't earn twice the median wage. They still deserve to have pathways to residency, put their roots in the community. So we're really disappointed that many of our low-wage workers were left out of having genuine pathways to residency, including many of our Pacific workers who are in low-wage industries as well.
Pasifika-owned construction businesses have the solution to provide more housing for Pacific peoples. Waikato Pasifika Business Network spokesperson Rachel Afiaki Taumoipeau says she hopes this year's budget will look into funding Pacific businesses in the construction centre to accommodate the needs of Pacific people, such as housing. Ms. Afiaki says the growth of residential housing in smaller towns will mean a high demand for construction, a sector in which most Pacific businesses operate in.
Housing is a massive need for our Pacifica people, but why can't our Pacifica businesses be part of that solution? Therefore, it would be really great to see a budget where Pacifica can leverage and build and participate in these much-needed sectors that will also accommodate the needs of our Pacifica people.
New Caledonia COVID-19 cases have almost doubled, with 452 new cases recorded in the past week as opposed to 298 on May 10th. This brings the total number of recorded cases since September to 61,514. There are no cases reported in hospital, and 574 people have been vaccinated in the past week, more than double the week before. So far, 66% of the population is vaccinated. A Samoan social worker has a message for the New Zealand government ahead of the budget announcement. Christchurch-based To'alipai Luella Thompson-Inda wants a long-term planned and lasting solutions, not just quick funding boosts, in order to address issues of poverty, health and education for Pacific communities in New Zealand. Ms. Thompson-Inda says she's witnessed a lot during her experience on the front lines and urged the nation's government to take note.
It's not enough that you just do a topping off and think it's a token gesture and think it's done. And also look at us as quite diverse. There's diversity in there. You can't put it all in the same basket. We need to have more Pacific providers in health.
Agents who recruit international students say they're not seeing huge demand to study in New Zealand. The government is resuming the process for study visa applications at the end of July, but has toughened the rules for post-study work rights. Bridget Neumann from Study Nelson says New Zealand has been closed while other countries were accepting foreign students.
The difficulty is that New Zealand has fallen off the radar to a degree, and there has been a little bit of loss of trust, really, in some ways, that we don't quite know whether the border won't be shutting again. Those are kind of comments that I'm hearing.
Bridget Neumann says some schools no longer have the staff they need to recruit students from other countries. US President Joe Biden is in Buffalo meeting with the community after a deadly mass shooting which killed 10 people. The 18-year-old suspect allegedly wrote a 180-page manifesto espousing racist conspiracy theories. Mr. Biden says white supremacy will not have the last word.
White supremacy is a poison. It's a poison running through it. It really is. Running through our body politic. And it's been allowed to fester and grow right in front of our eyes. No more. We need to say as clearly and forcefully as we can that the ideology of white supremacy has no place in America.
Mr. Biden is urging Americans to rise up, saying the country's experiment in democracy is in danger. Ukraine is working on the next stages of the operation to evacuate soldiers from the Azovstal steelworks in Mariupol. More than 260 soldiers were taken to Russian-controlled territory this morning under an evacuation deal. Ukraine says the soldiers will be swapped for Russian prisoners of war. However, the Speaker of Russia's parliament is taking a different line, saying those who he called Nazi criminals should not be exchanged. A study of biting behaviour by malaria-carrying mosquitoes in the Central African Republic has found as many as a third of blood feeds happen indoors during the day. Previous research based on the assumption that the insects bite mostly at night has focused anti-malarial efforts on bed nets treated with insecticide. The new study suggests malaria defences should be expanded beyond homes. Malaria kills hundreds of thousands of people each year, most of them young children in Africa. To sports now, two Samoa players will debut in the upcoming legs of the HSBC Sevens in Toulouse and London at the end of this month. The players are Ati Junior Ati and Niueli Molesi Leitsufia, both of the Lauli'i Club. 20-year-old Ati was one of two players called by head coach Muliangatele and Brian Limar to join the training squad in Dubai, anticipating injuries ahead of the upcoming legs of the highly competitive Rugby Sevens tournament. Also rejoining the 13-man squad is co-captain Melani Matavao from injury, as well as Steve Onosai and Paul Scanlon, who missed crucial matches of the Vancouver leg of the tournament. Other than co-captain Melani Matavao, who is the Manu 15's halfback, the team is made up of mostly locally based players, and the team's first outing in Singapore and Vancouver showed a lot of promise despite having just played at this level of international rugby. The Manu Samoa Sevens squad for the upcoming Toulouse Sevens and London Sevens League of the HSBC World Sevens Series 2022 was announced by the head coach. And there have been contrasting fortunes for New Zealand's Paul Cole and Joel King at the Squash World Championships in Cairo, with Cole advancing to the quarterfinals and King beaten in the third round. World number 5 King beaten in the four games by Egypt's Nada and Abbas, while men's number 1 Cole strolled to a 3-0 win over Egypt's Mazen Hisham, and he says the speed of the victory should help his title bid.
I'm very happy to get off in three. Mazen can make you do some unbelievable amount of work and big lunges, and it can be really damaging on your body, but I managed to close it down today. I'm very happy with the performance and to get off three love.
The All Blacks Sevens coach, Clark Laidlaw, has called on World Series organisers to standardise tournament schedules. He says having different length and format events throughout the season makes it more difficult to prepare, not only for the World Series events tournaments, but also major events such as this year's Commonwealth Games and World Cup.
So it's one of the frustrations for coaches and players that we find we just got to adapt to each of them, and then the Com Games is slightly different and the World Cup's different again. So it's something I think if we could tidy that up as a World Series and give it more consistency to what these tournaments look like would be nice.
The All Blacks Sevens play the next two World Series events starting in Toulouse this weekend before the Commonwealth Games, which start in July. That's news and sport on RNZ Pacific. You can listen and read more online on rnzi.com.